You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Kuf Aleph. We're holding in Daf Kuf Amud Beit, where we are one line up from the bottom. Gufa. Now, we learned yesterday, Ha'ochel Gidan Asher Shobeimat Me'a. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev Shtayim V'Rabbi Shimon Poter. If one eats a non-kosher animal's Gidan Asher, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayev both for the Gidan Asher and for the non-kosher animal. So as you all said, the Gidan Asher is also a kind of meat, and therefore you're chayev because of non-kosher meat. Furthermore, he obviously holds that it's more chamor, as the shita is all over, that since it was osur b'vnei noyach, so even though it's isur chal al isur, because we proved that the embryonic development has first the cells that are meat, and only afterwards they differentiated to get anasha from this mimer of the kizayit basar of a maid, we proved that. So according to Rebbe, everything worked out fine. But in the context of that, we found Rebbe Shimon shita. Rebbe Shimon poter. We'd like to understand how, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not chayav anything. I mean, when he says you're poter, so you say you're not chayav. So Rabbi Shimon, I don't get it. Manoshah. What exactly does he hold? We want to say he holds. Does he hold Yisr Chal al Yisr? You should be chayav twice. So l'chayav nami mishum gid. You should be chayav for the behemoth and for the gid. If he holds in Yisr Chal al Yisr, so at least be chayav because of the Yisr Tum'ah, behemoth me'ah, that came first. And if he holds that ain begidin b'nat din tam, there's a reason that you're not chayav on the behemah tmeah according to Rabbi Shimon, it's because the gidan osher is not meat. Doesn't have any taste. Okay, so we're back to the other question. So then, if that's the point, there's no isr chalal isr issue because it never was osur. So now let it become chayav mishum gidan osher, because gidan osher, if you hold ain begidin b'nat din tam, is simply that the Torah said, don't eat this piece of wood. But that's what it means by definition. So then you don't run into Yisr Chal al Yisr. But how in the world are you not chayav anything? Amar Rava, Le'olam Kasova, Ein Begidim Nemenot Ein Tam. He holds that, in fact, Gidim are not really meat. And therefore, you're not chayav on the Behemah Tmeah, because it isn't the meat of the Behemah Tmeah. Ah, you're asking, so then why is it not Gidan Hashem? Read the pasuk carefully. Shani Ata, the Omar Krah, Alkein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael at Gidan Hashem. Okay, what does that say to you? That if you have meat in front of you that you would eat, nonetheless, B'nei Yisrael don't eat the Gidan Hashem. But if they're not going to eat the meat, you're not saying anything about the fact that they're not eating the Gidan Hashem. But they're not eating the Gidan Hashem. They don't eat pig. What does that have to do with not eating the Gidan Hashem? So the point is, Mishigido Asur V'Saro Mutar. The only time that we're talking about the Isser Gid is where it's the Gid that's Asur and the rest that's Mutar. But if the entire animal is Asur, Yatztazo, Shigido Asur, and Bisoro Asur. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, it is not non-kosher meat, because En Begimino is in town. And it's also not the Gidan Hashem that was included, because anyway, we don't eat this animal. So what's the point of saying, Lo Yochlu Gidan Hashem? Comes along Rabbi Shimon, therefore, to say you're not chayav anything if it's a non-kosher meat. So this is the extreme. You can have a middle sheet, of course, in which maybe it would be an Isser Behemah Tmeah if you hold Yesh Begidim and Otei Tam, and they could agree nonetheless with the other element of Rabbi Shimon. But what the Braita set up over here is a definition of the two extreme shitot. Either you're chayav for both, you're chayav for neither. Omer Yudah Omer Rav. In a similar vein, we've been talking about behemah tmeah, but how about a gidan asher of a behemah that is kosher, except that it died, so now it became an avela. So if somebody eats the gidan asher of the avela, Rabbi Meir says, well, you're chayav two things. You're chayav both for the avela and for the gid. The chachamim amrim, no, you're only chayav one. Eino chayav ela achat. We're going to see what lies behind this, but obviously there's the question of your isur chal al isur. Umodim Chachamim, the Chachamim, would agree to Rebbe Meir that if you eat the Giran Hasheh of, let's say, a behemoth that you turned into a korban oilam, or into a shor haniskal, meaning that the animal now was chayev to be killed and it killed someone. So at that point it becomes asur b'hana'a, once we pass, and that it's a shor that's roi for skila. There might have, in that case, you're chayev shtayim. There you would be chayev on both. So let us understand what is involved over here, because there's some fundamental elements of isur chal al isur that we're talking about. Generally speaking, the logic behind the idea of ein isur, chal al isur, is that once something is asur, we've already filled in, so to speak, our boxes in our database. So this entry is asur. There's no room for another entry of asur. It either is asur or it's not asur. So what are you saying it's asur for? It's irrelevant. It already is asur. There's no place to add isur. But remember that the database includes a broad range of issues. Is it asur? Is this thing asur? But there's also the question of, is it part of something broader that's asur? So let's take the case of the nevela. The nevela was originally kosher. Can you move over a little bit so I can see you without twisting all the way? The nevela was originally kosher, except it had a gid on Hashem. So now only the gid was awesome. It becomes now a nevela, and the entire animal becomes awesome. So you can't say there's no room in the database for this iser, because this iser is kolel, it incorporates other things. Therefore, the iser definitely takes up now. So let's imagine we have an animal, which includes in its database meat of the animal, chalav of the animal, gid of the animal, mutter or asr. Okay, so we X'd out the gid. Now, we're going to now come to X out the basr. Whatever X'd out the basr now exists in our database. And therefore, since it's kolel, so it's now inclusive because it subsumes the other isr as well. We can't say, well, what's the point of saying it's more asr? There's an additional isr which is called kolel. Now, there's another concept which is mosif. It also adds isur. Adds isur can have many different modes, which we'll see. But right now what we're interested in is it adds isur in the sense of making it more chamur. So let's take a look at what happens, because one of the boxes in our database is isur hana'a or isur achila. So originally when it was a gid on asher, we had X off the box that said isur achila. The Isra Hanah box was not checked, because it's not Asur Hanah. Now what we're doing is, we're adding, first of all, an X in the box about the meat, and that's Kolel. And now we're adding an X in the box about Isra Hanah, because now it suddenly became Hanah when it turned it into a Korban Olah, or when it became a Shor HaNiskal. So now there's two different elements in which this Isra registers on us. That registration of the Isur Hana'a is not in an unrelated data box. I mean, this is what's very important. There's the horizontal boxes and there's the vertical boxes. When we're talking about the question of the Isur, is it an Isur Hana'a or Isur Achila? That exists in every one of our boxes. The meat, Asur Bachila, Asur Ba'anor. Chela, Asur Bachila, Asur Ba'anor. Giranosh, Asur Bachila, Asur Ba'anor. So the Isur Kolel added an X, but it added an X under the buzzer. But once you change the Isur to an Isur Hana'a, you also can add an X under the Gid Anasha in the box for Isur Hana'a. So therefore, what we have over here is a fascinating machlokas, where there's room in the database for another Isur because it registers as an Isur of the buzzer, which is Kolel. It includes more things in the Isur. Apparently, our Madiyama, the Chachamim, say, well, I mean, but that has nothing to do with the Gid. Why is the fact that I registered in the same database going to mean that the Gid box, which was already checked, is going to be rechecked? How do you recheck the same box? But if you're talking about a different Isser, which adds Isser Hana'a, then all the Hana'a boxes are going to be crossed also. And that includes the Gid Anasha. Therefore, according to this Madiyama, the Isser Kolel is insufficient. But if it registers both on the meat and it adds Mosif Isur, because it's more chomer now to be Asur Ba'ana'a under the Gidanasha, then we agree. That's essentially what it's saying over here, that there might enter a Rabbi Meir, that, well, but if we're talking about, not an Issa Nevela, we're talking about an Oila, or we're talking about a Shara Niska, which is us, or also Bana'a, then it does register on the Gid, and then you'd be Chayef twice. Once for the Gid, and once for whatever the other Issa was, the Issa Nevela, the Issa, not Nevela, I mean, the Issa Kadesh, or the Issa Shara Niska, right? Okay, so this now is a fascinating question, because do we recognize a Shita like that, that it has to be Kolel and Mosif? So ask the...
Would that be the case if you only ate it or only got an hour to do both?
Yes, because it's a question of the database, not the... I mean, not that it's possible to eat without an hour, but you can't do that without eating. Now, who is the author of that Shita? Because we don't recall ever having seen such a Shita. Man Haitana. So who is the author of a Shita who holds the Be'isir Kolel, that even though I'm adding more boxes horizontally, there he does not hold Isir Kolel, Isir Kolel, Isir Letle. But in a case where it's an Isir Kolel, which is also Mosif, meaning that it's an Isir Chamur, then he does hold of Isir Kolel, Isir. Who's the sheet of that? Omar Rava, the only one it can be is Rabbi Yosef Aglili. I mean, I can't prove to you that it's Rabbi Yosef Aglili because I don't have a case that offers both together. But I can prove to you that I'll leave it Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Certainly Yisr Kolel is not enough. And I don't have any indication that it wouldn't be enough if it was also Yisr Chomer. On the other hand, there are other sheetahs who don't like Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't hold of Yisr Kolel. But in that case, he also doesn't hold the face from Moses. So it's got to be Rabbi Yosef Aglili. It's not. Tamei Sha'acha Kodesh. Now, before we start, this is just recall. We haven't been Osik in this sugya for a little while. That when Kodesh meat is Tamei, so then whoever eats it, even somebody who is allowed to eat Kodesh meat, he's going to be over on an Iser Lav, but not Chiyuv Karet. On the other hand, if an individual who is Tamei eats Kodesh meat, then it's an Isser Chomur Yoter, and over there there's a Chiyuv Karet, which involves a Korban Chatat, if you did this B'shogeg. So now, it says here, it's not. We had this back in Tzvachim, the Mishnah. Tamei She'achal Kodesh. So if someone who is Tamei B'tumat HaGuf eats Kodesh, it doesn't matter whether that Kodesh itself was Tamei anyway, or whether that Kodesh is Tahor, he's Chayev, because it's Chayev Achatis. Because he's Tamei Beguf. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, no. Tamei She'achal et HaTahor. Only there is Chayev. But a Tamei She'achal et HaTamei is Patur. Because who cares? Lo Achal El HaDavar Tamei. All he did was eat something which anyway was Tamei. So it really shouldn't matter because it was Usher before, meaning as Tamei. And even though now this seems to be a problem. I'm going to ask the problem in a moment. Even though now you're adding more, so it's certainly kolel, because until now in this animal only a piece of meat that was tamei was prohibited to be eaten, and now this person who became tamei b'tumat haguf cannot eat any kodesh. So now we've got a lot of horizontal boxes to click. Because all other animals or any other meat from this animal suddenly became us, right? Before it was butter, because it was tar. Okay, so that's Isur Kolel. Now the problem is that it should also be Isur Mosif, because now we should click under the vertical column that says Chomor because of Karet. Someone's going to ask this. Someone's going to ask this. And why isn't this considered to be Mosif? Well, right now what we do see, that according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the fact that it's including additional meat in the Isser is not sufficient reason for us to say that it will be Usser also because of Tumat Aguv and therefore Bichayev Chatat. That's what we're seeing here. Okay. Now, meanwhile, once we already raised the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, we're going to go through the discussion. So Amrulo, Chachamim told Rabbi Yosef Aglili, look, that's crazy. Because if what you're saying is true, then there's no such thing as eating the Tumat Aguf. Because
If the moment you touch the meat to put it into your mouth, you made a tummy anyway. So even somebody who's a tummy to mataguf is always going to be eating bosa that's tummy anyway. So according to you, the Torah just gave an issur. I mean, what was that supposed to mean? Af tamei shakala dator, kiven shenagaba timu. Yeah, that's a good point. Shapa kamele rabban rabbi Yosef. That's a very good point. Now, Tezis points out that it's not really a very good point at all. Because obviously we could be talking about a case where somebody else takes the meat and puts it into his mouth. His mouth is not metame. It puts it into the Beit HaBliya. That's Makom Seitan. So then it was a Mekabel Tumah. So it says, okay, what can you say? It must be that they knew from the context of the sugya that the Mishnah was not talking about a case where Kishitach Havlo Chaveiro Beit HaBliya. Fine. But let's, you know, not oversimplify. So this isn't a universal question. So why would the Torah give such an answer? Because obviously there's room for a case. It's just that this wasn't that case. So Rava comes along to explain what it is that we're misunderstanding here. Says, Rava, that's a silly question. It's a silly question. Because if the guy first became Tamei B'tumat HaGuf, then obviously the Isser Chamor was called first. And at that point, he's going to be Chayiv as Korban Chatas, even if subsequently the meat would have become Usser anyway because the meat was Tamei. You misunderstood. What did you think? This was a naive machlokas about, well, who really cares? The meat was tummy anyway. What kind of stupid svar is that? That wasn't what the issue was. The issue was Isser Chalal Isser. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi was saying it. Since anyway it was Usser because the tummy was the meat was tummy anyway, where is there room for the Tumata Guf to be Chal? That's what he was saying. And you ask him a dumb question. Well, anyway it will become tummy afterwards. Tummy afterwards means that the tumah of the goof was the first isser, so then of course you'll be chayav akata. I wasn't saying some touchy-feely kind of svara here. It's tummy anyway. That's not the point. This is what Rav is coming to explain. Benitma ha-goof, ve'achar kach nitma basar. Obviously, Rabbi Yosef is not arguing. Kuli amalo pligei dechayav. In that case, obviously you're chayav akorban chatas. Why? Because the first isser to be chal was the isser karet on the tumah ha-goof. There's no problem. The only question between the two shitot was ki pligi benitma basar v'achar kach nitma aguf. In the case where the isser kal was kal first, and now you want to add another isser betumat aguf, which is kolel. In a moment, we're going to ask why it's not chamur, which is kolel. So over there, the rabbanan say, look, if it's kolel, that's sufficient. Because migo de mechayeva chetichot ta'orot di alma. Because since at this point the database will now register you as being chayev for eating what were previously perfectly kosher pieces of meat to you, because they were tar, and now you can't eat them because you became tamei. So once we have to acknowledge the existence of the isser of tumat aguf, so then we have to acknowledge it throughout the database. And therefore, if you eat even something which was tamei, it's going to be subsumed within the overall structure of tumas haguf. It's another detail in the yisur of tumat haguf. So you're michayev nami achatichat tmea. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, clearly, he doesn't hold of yisur kolel, because he doesn't say just because since it registers in our database, because it has to register in the column of the database. Not in the rows of the database. It has to register under the din of this particular piece of basar. And over here, it doesn't. Now, of course, that's not true. Over here, it does. Because until now, there was only an Isser Lav. Now you've got to check the Isser Karet. So why doesn't that register? I don't understand. We're looking for Mandi Amar, you said, who doesn't believe in Isser Kolel. But who does believe in Isser Kolel, which is Mosif. So why isn't this that case? It's Mosif HaChumra. You said that Rabbi Yosef Glee is going to be the one who admits that if it became an Isser that was more Chomor, such as Isser Ana'ah, that would be considered to be a registry. That's what you said. So then this is a horrible one, a horrible riot that Rabbi Yosef is that man the Omar. He seems to argue on both, even if it's both an Isser Kolel and an Isser Chomor. So how are you bringing me proof from Rabbi Yosef Glili? Ask the Gemara. Well, I don't get it. But Rabbi Yosef Glili, if he's the man that you're claiming, so fine, he doesn't agree to the Isser Kolel. So Nehid Isser Kolel Letlay, despite the fact that he doesn't agree with Isser Kolel, but I thought he agrees that if it's an Isser Chamur, since we're talking about, that's only Isser Kal, but in this case, Yovo Isser Chamur of Tumata Guf, which is a Chiyuv Karet, and it should be Kal on the Isser HaKal of Tumat Basar. So it definitely ought to register. Mind you, Tumat HaGuf. Sorry, Tumat HaGuf B'Karet. I mean, surely it's undeniable that Karet should register over and above the Chumrah of the Isser of eating the meat. Says Rav Ashi, a very surprising thing. It isn't a question of whether there's a box for it. It's a question of whether the intensity can be noted in the same box. That's the point. It has to be chamur, not just another point. So the idea over here is, that's all that we're saying. We're looking for someone who's going to talk about an Isser chamur. You're assuming that an Isser karet is chamur. I mean, that's usually a very reasonable assumption. The question is whether it applies here. For a very simple reason. There is something very loose about the Isser of Tumat HaGuf, even though it is an Isser karet. What's loose about it is the fact that all you need to do is go dip in some water and this big Isser Chomer of karet disappears. But if I check the box that says Tumat Basar, that is permanent. That's not written in erasable ink. There's nothing you can do about that. Once the Tumat Basar is there, it's there forever. So, I mean, one way of looking at it is that the Tumat HaGuf doesn't even register because it's a temporary situation, basically.
It's not embedded.
Yeah, it's not embedded in this box at all. You know, it's there, not there. I mean, it's very, that's a very much up-in-the-air issue. Therefore, in terms of the Isser of Tumat Basar, I don't pay attention to the little question of whether this also adds kares, because maybe the way to look at it is that the permanence of it is more chomor than the karet of the other. That could be. Again, the Gemara obviously cannot prove that this is the case. The Gemara's problem is that we never identified anyone, ever, who held of an Isser Kolel if and only if it's an Isser Chamur. We have found people who don't hold of an Isser Kolel, but then they don't hold of Isser Kolel at all, even if it's more Chamur. We have found people that hold of Isser Kolel without it being an Isser Chamur. You're telling me that there's a man the armor and we never heard of him. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to take Rabbi Yosef Galili and make him our man. We can't prove he's our man. But we do know he's the only one that doesn't hold a Isser Kolel and that still allows us to fit in this shita in his shita. So it makes sense that he's the author of this shita, even though we don't have any other indication. So if you're troubled by the fact that, well, what about the Isser Karet? Look, what can I tell you? I mean, it could be. That's why all Rav Ashi says over here is, well, who says that? Who says? I don't know. I'm not telling you that. Who says that karet is necessarily chamur? Maybe in Rav Yosef Galili's eyes, that's the way you look at it. But at least it's possible for us to isolate a particular shita, which we don't have to say, gosh, there's got to be some mistake here, because nobody holds this. Could be Rav Yosef Galili holds this. So man leimalan de tumata guf chamura. Dilma, Tomas Basar Chamura, Dolat Le Tahara B'Mikveh, there's nothing to do about it. Okay, could be.
It's not possible to take the Tumah from the Basar because it's never written that you could, really.
You can't put a piece of meat into a mikveh. No, it's not. No Ochlin. No, the Torah only gives mikveh for Adam and Caleb.
Yes.
Caleb. Adam the Canaan. Yeah, they're included in Canaan. Now, so the way you're coming out now, you're telling me that Rabbi Yosef Galili does not hold of Isser Kolel on its own, but does hold of Isser Kolel if we can establish that this is an Isser Kolel. I have a very serious problem with that, and that is that I know from other places that Rabbi Yosef Galili does hold of Isser Kolel. Vatanya, what if Shabbat and Yom Kippur come out on the same day? Gosh, when would that happen? So what if Shabbat? What if Shabbat and Yom Kippur come out on the same day? A guy is shogeg, and he does malacha. So is he chayev two chataot? Now, of course, what does this involve? Is it halalis, right?
Well,
We want to say there's room. We want to say there's room for two Isurim. Talk about that in a moment. So if Shabbat and Yom Kippurim come out on the same day, Shagag v'yasa malacha. Suppose a guy did malacha b'shogeg. How do we know that he's chayim both for Yom Kippur and for Shabbat? Minayin shechayav al zeh ba'atzmo v'al zeh ba'atzmo. Talmud Lomar, therefore, surprisingly, we have an extra word that identifies both Shabbat and Yom HaKippurim as needing to be singularly addressed. Why? Because in the Pasuk of Shabbat, where it's Sheshet Yamim Taseh Malacha, Uvo Yom HaShvi'i Shabbat Shabbaton. So what does it say over there? Kol Malacha Lo Tasu Shabbat Hi Lashem. What is Shabbat Hi Lashem? What does that add? What it adds is, I don't care what else is involved. Focus on the fact that it's Shabbat. Don't let it be subsumed in something else. The same word appears by Yom HaKippurim for some reason. So there it says, Ach basor l'chodesh ha-shvi'i hazeh, Yom HaKippurim hu, mikra kodesh. Well, what do we need the who? So that who is the he of Shabbos. So it means that Yom Kippur needs to be identified uniquely and not subsumed within some other iser, such as Shabbat. And therefore, I'm chayav on both of them. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, on the surface, what does this have to do with an Isser Kolel? See, you could say that the Isser Kolel is the fact that once it becomes Yom Kippur includes many things that Shabbat does not include. So Yom Kippur includes not eating, not washing, and so on. So those things don't apply to Shabbat. So it's an Isser Kolel, other things, and therefore, It should be a chal. But the problem is that you hold, that Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't hold of Isser Kolel. So something is funny. Now, as Barnea has asked, what is funny? This Shabbos Yom Kippur all happens at the same time. Until now, we've been assuming that the only problem of Isser Chal al Isser is where first there's one and now there's no room for the other. But if two things happen simultaneously, how could you possibly register one and not the other? So either it's neither or it's both. In which case you would be chayev for Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Why is this a problem of Enis or Chalalism?
Can I do the Kabbalah Yom Kippur before the Kabbalah Shabbos?
It wouldn't matter. Your Kabbalah is not Machayev Yikaris. So now, there's a Machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, and Tosfos proves that this is wrong from elsewhere. The thing is, this is not our major sugi of Isser Chal al Isser. We won't go into the details. But Rashi says that the Gemara's Avamina is here. The Gemara holds here that if you don't hold of Isser Kolel, it is because of the fact that you believe that there's no meaning to the word Isser Chal al Isser. It's not because this is not a good example of Isser Chal al Isser. It's because it's conceptually unacceptable to talk about something being usser for two reasons. Because there's a generic concept called isser. You can't add isser. What would it mean? But if that's true, then it's also true that even if it's bevatachat, the most you could say is, okay, you're chayev for one, whatever. But how could you be chayev for two different things just because it's both Shabbat and Yom Kippur? Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that's simply not the case. And the reason that over here the Gemara is asking this question must be because the Gemara believes at this point what it's going to point out earlier. And that is, there's a fascinating question of what do we mean when we say bevatachat? Do we mean that the definition of this isser bevatachat? Or do we mean that the actual occurrence of the isser is bevatachat? Because obviously Yom Kippur occurs thousands of years after Shabbos. Shabbos existed before Besdin even Paskin that this month is Tishrei. So, I mean, it was never going to be Yom Kippur until we had that tzak. Yom Kippur is going to be the Shabbos, right? So in that sense, you could say the Isser of Shabbos was there, defined historically, before the Isser of Yom Kippurim. If that's the case, if we buy into that, so then this is a question not that has to do with Bevatachat, but that has to do with the Isser Kolel. So since Shabbat came first, so now Yom Kippur cannot be chal unless you hold Issur Kolel, because it also asks you to eat. But Rabbi Yossi Aglita doesn't hold of an Issur Kolel. Okay, the problem is that here Rabbi Yossi Aglita does hold of an Issur Kolel, because he says you'll be chayev both on Shabbat and on Yom Kippurim. So how does this fit in with what you just said? Rabbi Akiva omer eino chayev al achat. It's Rabbi Akiva, and only Rabbi Akiva, who says that you're chayev only one. Fine. It's still dependent on the Psak of Beis Din. This Shabbos was not meant to be Yom Kippur until Beis Din decided. So.
This year.
Right. Okay. So, apparently over here, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying the opposite of what Rabbi Yossi Aglili said before. Shalach Ravin Mishum Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Chanina. This question had been sent to Ravin, and he sent a tshuva, and he said, look, that may be what it says over here, Kachatza Ashal Mishnah. I mean, the Mishnah is correct, but you've got the Shittot wrong. There is such a machlokas, but Epoch, you've got Rabbi Akiva saying what Rabbi Zaglili says, and Rabbi Zaglili saying what Rabbi Akiva says, and in reality, Rabbi Zaglili is meant to be consistent with his prior Shita, that there's no such thing as an Issur Kolel.
Really?
Yeah.
Why could it be that's what he holds here, but came along late with
his mother? Tosus asks that Kasha. Hira's question is, it's all very nice, but isn't that the whole point of Shabbati and Yom Kippurim? Isn't that what it's saying? So Tosfos says, because the Gemara is taken for granted, if that's what it said, then that would be a primary source for saying that there is such thing as Issur Chalal Issur. So if this is what Rabbi Yosef was saying, why wouldn't he apply it all over? The Gemara is taken for granted. Let's learn from there. Ligmar Minei. Okay. Now, points out, and here's where we get into this question, of whether Yom Kippur is seen as something that comes after Shabbat. So points out now, Aliba, what we just said, that we're supposed to switch Shittot, Shalach Reb Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giyuri, Mishum de Rabbi Yochanan. So he sent an interesting message, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that according to the way we now understand Rabbi Yossi Aglili, with the flipping of the Shittot, so L'divi Rabbi Yossi Aglili, L'mai da'afchan, according to this flip, in the case where Shabbos and Yom Kippur came out on the same day, then you should know that if you did the shogeg on the Shabbat part, but even though you knew it was Yom Kippur, you did that on purpose, so you'd still be chayev for a karban on the Shabbat part. But if you were mazid on Shabbat and you were shogeg on Yom Kippur, there you're not chayev a karban. You're pot. No. Nothing to do with Kim Leben Rabbinay. Because we don't say Kim Leben Rabbinay Anachi of Korban for another issue. Yeah, but there's no Kim Leben Rabbinay on Korbanos. The kasha that you should be asking, which Tosfos asks, is that that's crazy. If the guy's ready to be Mechal Shabbos, so he would have been Mechal Yom Kippurim either. He just didn't know it was Yom Kippur. And Tosfos gives the obvious answer. People are nuts. They keep Yom Kippur, they don't keep Shabbos. They think Yom Kippur, you know, Mechila, Kachora, you know, but I forgot it was Yom Kippur. I thought it was only Shabbos. You know, so fine. So he drives to Shul on Shabbos, forgetting it was Yom Kippur. Okay. Very cute. Things haven't changed much. Okay, so there we seem to be something ridiculous. I mean, if you're telling me that they're both going to be chal, right? What's the difference which one you had in mind? I don't understand what that means. My time, what would be the logic behind this? Omer Abaye, the logic is that Aliba Rabbi Yossi Aglili, only the first one is chal. And the first one, by definition, is always Shabbat, because Shabbat came before Yom Kippur in terms of the historical existence of this day of Shabbat. And therefore Shabbat, which is Kviya V'Kaima, that is predetermined, this day is going to be Shabbat. Yom Kippur is only defined when Beis Din makes this Rosh Chodesh, and then the 10th of the month is defined by the Beit Din, and then the Shabbat also becomes Yom Kippur. So that's the Beit Din of the Kavile. Therefore, only Shabbat was really Chal, And only on Shabbat you could be chayev the Korban Chatat. But on Yom Kippur, you're not going to be chayev in that case at all. Normally, Rava, I don't understand what the logic is in that, in what is the historical day. I mean, bottom line is, we don't look at Isser Chalal Isser in terms of the definition of the Isser. We look at Isser Chalal Isser in terms of the Chalot of the Isser. The Chalot of the Isser is local. So when the day, when the sun sets on that day, it becomes Shabbat and Yom Kippur simultaneously. What kind of logic is this? Now remember, according to Tosfos, this Sfora had been taken into consideration initially in the Gemara when they were asking on Rabbi Yossi Aglili that it's not Bavat HaKat. We're just talking it out now. According to Rashi, this we were discovering. Right? According to Tosfos, we always knew in the back of our heads, taking into consideration that Shabbat comes first. So now we're undermining that whole argument. Elam HaRava comes on Rava and says, look, yeah, you know what happened over here? What happened over here is that somebody got very confused. There was such a message. Someone who heard about it years later did not know what it was talking about and assumed that it was a reference to a case where Shabbos came out on Yom HaKippurim according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. It had nothing to do with that. It was a historical anomaly. What happened was the Romans had decreed that this year nobody's allowed to keep Yom Kippur. So the Beis Din was Cheshesh. What? You can't not work on Yom Kippur this year. We're going to make sure that you show up at your job on Yom Kippur and do whatever you got to do. You don't keep
Yom Kippur. Bring your lunch with you.
Exactly. You're not keeping Yom Kippur. Anybody keeps Yom Kippur is dead. Fine. So obviously they couldn't keep Yom Kippur. All right. So what is it, therefore, that the Beis Din did? He said, look, you know, who knows how long this thing is going to be in effect? I mean, there may be kids born that will never know what Yom Kippur is. All right, let's say this thing goes on for 10 years. You know, 10 years from now, what's this? Never heard of it. Therefore, what we want to do is pretend that Shabbos is Yom Kippur. That way, the Romans anyway know on the weekend you don't work. And they know it's not Yom Kippur. So you keep Shabbos as Yom Kippur so that your children grow up knowing that there is such a thing as Yom Kippur. Now that's not the same, as Tosfos explains, as Beis Din actually defining Shabbos as Yom Kippur, because in order to do that, they would have to change the month, the day of the month, which they didn't do. So it's not included in Atem, Afilu, Mezidim, and so on and so forth. It's up to you to define what the date is. They didn't change the date of the month. They changed the date of Yom Kippur, the longest Yom Kippur. Make a story for kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so somebody hears this years later and says, well, and of course, therefore, if you ate or you did malacha in terms of Yom Kippur, it wasn't Yom Kippur. So how could you bring a chatas? It wasn't Yom Kippur. It was a derabanan zikaron for Yom Kippur. Somebody hears this years later and naturally turns it into a whole big deal that defines the halacha about whether Yom Kippur is kosher. But you know what they're talking about? It had nothing to do with that. It was a historical event that subsequently was forgotten. That's all. So therefore, it says, well, I'll tell you what really happened and how somebody came up with this. It was a shnat hashmat. V'sholchu mitam. So they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to all of the areas under Roman control, which is everywhere, that there, Yume Kippur da'ashat ha-shabbat, let us keep Yom Kippur as a zikara this Shabbos. V'chein kiyat ha-ravin v'chon nechutei. When all Ravin and the whole group that had traveled to Bavel came, they said, yes, that's exactly what had been said. And the quote was being taken completely wrongly, just as Rava suggested. Now, the Mishnah continued, that says, Rabbi Yehuda, well, I mean, the Gidon Asher was Asher even to Bnei Yaakov. And Bnei Yaakov didn't differentiate at the time between kosher animals and non-kosher animals. Tanya, so in the Braita, it says more clearly, why the Chachamim argued with him? Why did the Chachamim say, no, the Pasuk that says, Al-Kei lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael et Gidon Asher, that was said on Har Sinai, And remember, the Torah doesn't care about where it puts things. It interrelates things in your mind. So that it wrote this there so that you should associate it with the action, but the mitzvah was only Nahug from Har Sinai, and you're wrong. It was not Nogea B'nai Noyach, meaning Jews who were at the time B'nai Noyach. And the Braita expands on that argument. Amrul al Rabbi Yehuda. Look, it doesn't say Al Kain lo yachlu b'nei Yaakov et Kidan Hashem. Were there a people called B'nai Yisrael at the time? No. So obviously, if you're using the words Al Kain lo yachlu b'nei Yisrael, so then you can't be referring to something that was historically at that time. You got to be referring to something that was historical. This is completely anachronistic. It occurred later on that they're called B'nai Yisrael, and we set it back into a chronology that makes sense to you. But it couldn't. The words don't even make sense where they're set. There's no such concept of B'nai Yisrael. So therefore, Alolo Nemar B'nai Yisrael, Alolo Nikru B'nai Yisrael Ad Sinai. They weren't called B'nai Yisrael until Har Sinai. Therefore, B'Sinai Nemar must be that this mitzvah was given on Har Sinai, and then when it was written, it was nichtav b'mekomo, was written in its place, to make it make sense to you, that you should understand the relationship of the Yitzhak Gidon Asha to the battle of Yaakov with the Sarah Shalais. Leida me'izetam ne'esar lahem. Motiv Rava, what is this? What do you mean? They're not called B'nai Yisrael until Har Sinai? Of course they were called B'nai Yisrael before Har Sinai. It says, v'yis'u b'nai Yisrael et Yaakov avihem. No. What is that supposed to be? Right? Obviously, it's a reference to B'nai Yisrael. Sorry? No. So everybody asks a kasha. The answer to your kasha is another kasha. Everybody asks a kasha. Why would the Gemara go to Vayisu B'nai Yisrael at Yaakov Avihem when there's a much earlier pasuk, which was that B'nai Yisrael were Yordu to be Bein Abaim to buy the food. That was way before they took Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. So Vayavo B'nai Yisrael B'toch Abaim, what's wrong with that pasuk? Why do we skip that? So obviously the difference is that over there, when Yaakov was called B'nai Yisrael, you can refer, Yaakov was called Yisrael. If it would have said, Jacob's sons went to buy food, it bothers you. They are Jacob's sons. So if it calls them Yisrael's sons, B'nai Yisrael over there means Yisrael's sons, not the members of this concept called Yisrael. But if you're telling me in this pasuk, B'nai Yisrael carried their father Jacob, does that make sense? No, either they're B'nai Yisrael and he's Yisrael, or they're B'nai Yaakov and they're carrying Yaakov. But to say B'nai Yisrael carried Yaakov, their father, is sort of sticking it in your face. Don't confuse the two. Right? That B'nai Yisrael therefore means a concept, a nation, them and their grandchildren and so on. They came down as B'nai Yisrael carrying an individual Yaakov who happened to be their father. Not in the sense of B'nai Yisrael father. That's what the whole pasuk is saying. So therefore, we don't look at that earlier pasuk because, as our president said, what does that prove? All it proves is that it's Jake's kids. But in this case, it can't possibly mean that. It means clearly this new concept of B'nai Yisrael. So, yes, that's true. But there, yeah, no, this is not when they carried his body. No. No, this is wrong, and wrong again. This is talking about where they brought him down to Egypt. Down to Egypt. No. Right? This is the pasuk Vayokom Yaakov Beer Sheva Vayisu B'nai Yisrael et Yaakov Avihem Vetapam Vetnishehem. They're all there on the same buses, Bagalot. But the Yosef had sent. What do you want him to die early over here? What's with you? Okay. All right, so Rav Tainis is, I don't understand. So this is before our Sinai. So, says the Gemara, who cares if it's before our Sinai? That's an irrelevant question. But it was la'achar ma'aseh. But it's not at the time of the Gidon Asha. Says Rav Acha, b'rei the Rav Ravashi, so who cares if it's, I don't understand your point. So let it become usher from that moment, that they're called B'nai Yisrael. So if it became usher from that moment, it's anyway consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that B'nai Yisrael, as non-Jews, because it was before Kabbalah Zatera, so they're still B'nai Noyach, they were able to eat non-kosher animals, Ken lo yochlu B'nai Yisrael. So then he's right. Why? What is it to Chachamim were saying? No, they want to call B'nai Yisrael time for Har Sinai. That's not true. Call B'nai Yisrael before Har Sinai. So from the moment, whatever that moment was, that tipping point, which called them B'nai Yisrael, which of course was Yiridas Mitzrayim Be'ikar, let it be also from that moment. Me'ahi sh'ata litzar, and that would then back Rabbi Yehuda's contention. I'm like, what kind of crazy question is that? What do you mean? Like there's a standing moment at which, what happens? God gives now, B'nai Yisrael time, gentlemen, okay, lo yuchlu, I understand what it's supposed to mean. V'chi Torah, pa'amim nitan, understand. There were like separate Kabbalat Torahs for like all of these different mitzvahs. Either you're taking it the way Rabbi Yehuda does, that the Maisa of the events with Yaakov Avinu created that Isser because of the commemorative impact of that battle, Al-Kein Lo Yochlu B'nai Yisrael, or Al-Kein Lo Yochlu B'nai Yisrael was said at the time that they were given mitzvahs as B'nai Yisrael. So what would be the point that sometime in history, 100 years later, if they now suddenly are defined as B'nai Yisrael, all of a sudden there's a reason not to eat the Gidon Asha. Does that make sense? So that's the point. It's either or, but it's not these middle areas. So when the Chachamim said that they're not called B'nai Yisrael until Sinai, you mean they're not, you don't find a pasuk that they're called B'nai Yisrael. He means you don't find them vis-a-vis mitzvot called B'nai Yisrael. So how do they call B'nai Yisrael there? So you'd say, but at some point they were, so what? That part is certainly not relevant. I'm supposed to address every single pasuk. Ahi shata, that moment, it's neither shat maaseh, nor is it shat matan Torah. So how do you expect it suddenly become a sur?
Why should that be different than kita over the eyes? We're given mitzvahs that are only chalas once we get there.
Because that's after Kabbalat Torah. Gufa. How can Rabbi Shimon poter? One of Shach. I mean, he is a chalal iser, so you should be chayev twice. We shouldn't get to. If ain is a chalal iser, so then you're still chayev because it's a non kosher animal. That kodim, that came first. The ain begidi binote tam, so that he should be able to be chayev ishum git. Omar Rav Leolam Kasover ain begidi binote tam. And that's why you're not chayev or beimant mea. V'shanei hatam de'amakon al-kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael et gidan asher, which implies that they would eat this meat, just not the gid. Mi shegido asur b'soro mutar, yatzta zo shegido asur u'b'soro asur. On Rav Yehuda Amar Rava ochel gidan asher shel nivela, which is a similar issue, except that it involves the entire animal. Rabbi Meir mechayev shtayim, v'chachamim omrim eno chayev alachat. Morim chachamim lo Rabbi Meir b'ochel gidan asher shel olah, which is also ba'ana, or of a shara niska, which is also ba'ana, since that is mosif the chumra of Yisrael, there you're chayev shtayim, because it's also kolel and also mosif. So, manaitana, the b'isr kolel alone, he doesn't hold the b'isr chalal isr. But if it's an isr kolel that's also an isr chamur, then he does hold the b'isr chalal isr. On my rabbi, that must be Rabbi Yosef Glili, that's not. Tamei sh'achal kodesh, ben kodesh tamei, ben kodesh tahor, chayav. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, no. Only Tamei Shachalat HaTahor is Chayav HaKorban, because that's a Chayav Karei. But Tamei Shachalat HaTamei Patur, Shlo Achal, Ela Davar Tamei. Omrulo, well, I mean, if that's the issue, every time somebody eats Tahor, he made a Tamei. Kivan Shenagabo Tim Uhu. Hey, that's a good point, isn't it? Shaper Karmelei Rabban Rabbi Yossi Aglili. V'omar Rava, no, it's a ridiculous point. Because benitma gufa harkach nitma basar, obviously Rabbi Yosef Glili himself is made. Who cares if afterwards it became tameh? Kuli amalo pligi dechayev, because the iser karet came first. The only machlokus was where first it was tumat basar vacharkach nitma guf. So the rabbanan say, well, okay, now it's an iser kolel. So migo di michayev hatichot torot di alma. At this point, it's a bigger meaning wider iser, because it includes all kinds of other pieces of meat. So now you're mechayev nami on the chaticha, which anyway you were aser on, tameya. Rabbi Yosef Galili doesn't hold of that. The migo, just because since, he doesn't say that logic of since. Okay. Rabbi Yosef Galili asks the Gemara, but still, here it should also be an iser kol al chamur. Need iser kol al letle, biser kal. But in this case, Yovo Isr Chamur, because it's an Isr Karet, Yochula Isr Kal, Mainu Tumataguf, Shari Tumataguf Bekarit. Om Ravashi, well, what makes you so sure that that's how to look at it? Man Lema on the Tumataguf Chamura, Dioma Tumat Basar Chamura, because Letli Tarabah Mikva, and therefore it's permanent. Okay, now you're telling me Rabbi Yosegli, Letli Isr Kolel, but Tanya Shabbat Vyoma Kippurim, Shagag v'yasa malacha minayin shechayav azeh ba'atzmo v'azeh ba'atzmo. Talmud lomar Shabbat hi, Yom HaKippurim hu, div Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Akiva omer, no, it's true, inu chayav alachat. Shalach rovim mishum Rabbi Yosef b'Rabbi Chanina. Well, the way you have it is right, except that the names are reversed. Ve'eluch. Shalach Rabbi Yosef b'Yakob argiyuri mishum Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so now, I'll leave Rabbi Yosef Aglili, the way that you just switched it back, to his shita. So I just want to make it very clear that if the shogeg was in terms of Shabbos and the mazid was in terms of Yom HaKippurim, so then you would be chayav a korban. But if the mazid was on Shabbos and the shogeg was on Yom HaKippurim, then you'd be potter. Why is that? Om Rabbaya, well, it's because the Shabbos always comes first. And the Shabbos is kviyah v'kaima, whereas Yom HaKippurim, beidina de kakavaleh. Oh my, well, what kind of sfor is that? I mean, Yisr Chal al Yisr is not dependent on when we dream of the Yisr. It's dependent on when the Yisr is Chal. So, sov sov, tarvayu b'hadi adadi ka'atu. Elo Omar Rava, this was a historical event that somebody lost track of. Shmar Avi. And therefore, in order to remember Taras Yom HaKippurim, shofu mitam, let us keep an artificial Yom Kippur da Hashata on Shabbos. V'chen kiyata Ravin, v'chon nechuteyan, Amru akirava. Om Rav Yudah. V'alo mibnei Yaakov nesar. Tanya, Amru Rav Yudah. How can you say that? V'chi ne'emar ha'ken lo yochlu b'nei Yaakov. It says ha'ken lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael. Where do we find them called b'nei Yisrael? Before Sinai. Therefore must be b'sinai ne'emar. Elo sh'nichtav b'mkomo leida b'yezim ta'am ne'esar lehem. Mativ Rava. What do you mean? They're not called b'nei Yisrael before. And how about when they took Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim? It says, Vayis'u b'nei Yisrael et Yaakov Avihem. Okay, fine, but that's not at the time of the Gedanasha story. That's Liachar Maaseh. Omele Ravacha, Breda Ravala Ravashi. So, who cares? Why not make it from that time? So, Miayin Sha'ata Litzar, and then it would still be true that it's an Yisrael Chomer that was Chalal b'nei Noyach. Omele, what kind of question is that? V'chi Torah pa'amim pa'amim nitna. Either it's got to be b'shat maaseh, and ahu shata lav shat maaseh avi, or matan Torah. But dahi shata was lo shat matan Torah either.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle. Today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
Today's daf is daf kuf aleph, and indeed we are in the middle of daf kuf aleph. And we ended up explaining yesterday the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon hold that there's no din of Gid Hanasha? On the over here, Rabbi Shimon potters completely for the Ochel Gid Hanasha Shabbei Matmea, even from anything. So the Gemara said, and we answered, we thought, in Begin Meis, and we answered that, after all, the reason in which he holds that Gid Hanasha is not Chalam Bein Matmea has nothing to do with Yisr Chalal Yisr. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's a whole new question. It's actually a diuk in a pasuk, that the only time that B'nai Yisrael
Aloyoklet Giranosha is when part that they're not eating is the Giranosha. The Temayoklet Beneyasos Giranosha. If they're not eating the animal anyway, so then you don't say they won't eat the Giranosha, they won't eat anything. And therefore, it's not including an animal in which the Gid itself would have been the only thing that's. With the Vasar itself would have been us. That's what we were up to, and that brings us down to about one third of the way down. Can we start now another issue? We've dealt so far with the question of the Isur Chamur in terms of the Shita that holds that since, which is the way we were learning as a Gid in the Mishnah, that since the Gid on Rashi was Chal even on Ben Nayak, it's considered to be Isur Chamur. Was our understanding of Rav Yehuda, and therefore it would be chal on even something that had been usher anyway, and we showed that embryonically first it will be usher mitam behemet tzveya. Nonetheless, doesn't matter, because that is a more chomer lav, and a more chomer lav is chal. Now that introduces a general question, Mr. Chalal Isser, in issues of the Gidan Asherah where we have other things that are involved. We don't necessarily follow the Shita of Rav Yehuda, but nonetheless, there's other reasons for Gid HaNasha to be chal. For instance, Om Rav Yehuda Merah, Ha'ochel Gid HaNasha Shal Nivela. What we have over here is a situation which clearly the Gid HaNasha was asur first, because the animal wasn't asur as Nivela until it died. So someone eats the Gid HaNasha of a Nivela, Rabbi Meir Mechayev Shtayim. So apparently he holds that the Isser Nevela is Chal also on the Gid HaNasha. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you would be Chayev only once. Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Meir. So they hold, apparently, whoever these Chachamim are, we're going to try to identify them. You can sit in Richie's chair. One Richard should cover for the other. He's dominating much. I don't want to put any ideas in your head. You seem to lit up when I said that. So we're going to try to identify who those Chachamim are. But in any event, they hold apparently that Ein Isser Chalal Isser in this case, and that since the Gid HaNasha came first, that's the only thing that's Asur, and the Nevela isn't Asur. Now, if we consider for a moment what is happening over here, let's think about what the machlokas is. Rabbi Meir, who says, as a davar poshut, even though the poshut, everybody holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, this is a unique case. Why? Because it's not a normal Isser Chalal Isser. Over here, the new Isser, Isser Nevela, is far more inclusive than the original Isser is, correct? What do we mean by Ein Isser Chalal Isser? Is that the Torah doesn't give unique sets of things called Isser. There's a state called Isser. So how can you add a state of Isser on a state of Isser? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Once the state of Isser exists, then it's absurd to start discussing, well, it also exists because of this reason. It's already there. That reason is irrelevant. And therefore, it has no impact on your chiyuvim. But suppose the state of Isser, such as here, exists on item X, and comes along a new state of Isser that would be Chal on Y plus X, such as Nevela. When the animal becomes a Nevela, the Isser is not coming to be Chal on the Gid HaNasha. The state of Isser has very important definitions, and it exists where it exists, on the rest of the animals. The question is, do we say that once such a state exists, then it exists across the board? You can't ignore the fact that the Gid HaNasha is also part of the Nevela, correct? And that is called an Isser Kolel. Because it's Kolel other items, and therefore it has its space in which it's Chal. Now there's another concept in which Isser can be Chalal Isser, which is called Isur Mosif. And it's a very different issue. And Isur Mosif would be where it doesn't have another area that it includes as a new space in which to be chal, but it means where the new state would now define the Isur in new ways. Let's say something was previously Osur Bachila. comes along state bays and would usher it bahana'a as well. In that case, you would have another reason to say yisr chal, even though it doesn't have another place, perhaps, to be chal, but it can be chal directly on what was previously usher because it's changing the definition of the state of yisr. So those two items are a violation of our normal abhorrence of yisr chal al yisr. And there it would be possible to say that yisr is chal al yisr. Now here we have a very strange situation. Because be'emes, what these chachonim seem to hold is that even though they don't hold yisr kolel, as we just saw, because they hold if yid agid hanasha v'nevela, it's still only a agid hanasha, the Gemara continues to show that there is a place where they do hold of yisr chal al yisr nonetheless, because it continues to say, umodim chachamim l'Rabbi Meir, bolchel gid hanasha shel ola, yisr shah haniskar shechayev shnayim. In the event, however, that you had eaten the gid hanasha v'na'ila, or the shah haniskar, now there you would be chayev already twice. What's so unique about that case above the other case? L'chora, the only difference is that not only does the Isser Kotchin, or the Isser of the Shah Niska, which now creates the Isser of Hanah as well, not only is that chal on a broader area, because it includes all of the meat of the animal, not only the deeds, correct? But it also creates a greater chum, so that it adds an Isser Kores, if it's a Kachin, or it adds an Isser Hanah, if it's a Shohan Niska. So therefore, what we see over here is a shita that holds that Kolel alone is insufficient, but Kolel, where it also adds a Chumra, of Isser Hanah, Kolel, where it adds a Chumra and Isser Kores. Now that already is different, and that we're willing to say it is Chala, right? The problem is it's not so obvious who would hold of such a thing. Because even though we know that there are shitas that don't hold of Isser Chal al Isser in cases of Kolel. So we have, for instance, the shita of Rebbe Shimon, who holds that if you have an Avela, now comes on Yom Kippur. And obviously Yom Kippur is an Isser that's Kolel an awful lot more things than just an Avela. Because now, before you were only not allowed to eat an Avela, now you're not allowed to eat anything. So if you would hold of Kolel, then you should hold that you're chayav for Yom Kippur if you eat the Nevela. Rabbi Shimon says, you're not chayav for Yom Kippur because the Isser Nevela came first, despite the fact that it's Kolel. But over there, it's not only despite the fact that it's Kolel, it's also despite the fact that it's Chamor. Because Yom Kippur is an Isser Karet and the Nevela is only an Isser Lav, correct? So it can't be going according to the standard. We have a standard model of Isser Chal al Isser with various shitas in it. So Reb Shimon shita, mufursam, is that there's no such thing as Isser Chal al Isser, even in an Isser Kola where there's an Isser Chomer. So he doesn't fit the bill over here of the Chachomi. Rabbi Meir holds that Isser Kolo, you would say Isser Chal al Isser, that's even without an Isser Chomer. Such as over here, Nevela and Gid Hanasha are the same level of Chumrah, just that the Nevela is Kolel more than the Gid Hanasha was. That's enough. So you'll be chayav on both. Who is this man Yoma? Says the Gemara, man hai Tana. Who is a Tana that rejects the idea of Isser Kela to provide a new space for the Chalot of another Isser? So the Isser Kolel, Isser Chal al Isser Letle, he doesn't hold of Isser Chal al Isser and Isser Kolel. The whole introduction. But Isser Kolel, the Isser Chamor, Itle. Mashenkin, when it comes to an Isser Kolel, that also includes an Isser Chamor of either the case of Kachin, which is an Isser Koretz, or the case of the Shah Nisto, which is again, Kolel more Basar, and it adds also to Isser Hanah, that in that case, you have a space in which the Isser is Chal, And in that case, the space which the Isser is chal subsumes the original space of Isser of the thing that was awesome. Now that is a shita that we've never heard of before. Because if you hold of Isser Kogel, then the very fact that the Isser has a space in which it's chal, here it's chal on the rest of the meat that previously was kosher. So therefore, by definition, it's chal across the board. One space doesn't have to subsume the other space. It's there already. You see? But this man, the armor, says that's insufficient. Because basically what will happen is that the new Isser will affect whatever was previously unaffected by a set of Isser, by the state of Isser. And there's an overlap of two states of Yisroel, and therefore whatever was there first is there. But the fact that it's kolel doesn't add new Isser to what wasn't there. Ah! But if, on the other hand, it has implications for that other space, so now what was previously Aser Ba'achila becomes Aser Ba'ana'ah, then, since it has where to be chal, we view the new space not only as broader, but also as more inclusive. Because it will add new instrument, and therefore we would say it's a chal of this. Now, this is a new idea that we never met before. Can we identify who the Tana is? Amar Rava, so again, we know that it can't be Rabbi Shimon, who is our staunch backer of Ein Isser Chal Aleis Afilu B'Isser Kehilo, because Rabbi Shimon's flagship case was Isser Yom HaKippurim not being Chal on the Vela, despite the fact that it is both Kolel and Chamor. So he doesn't fit the bill. So who does fit the bill? So Rava, the only one I can think of is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's not to say that I know for a fact Rabbi Yossi Aglili says this. But I do know for a fact that Rabbi Yossi Aglili rejects Isser Kehilel, and we've never seen any indication that in his rejection of Isser Kehilel, he would also have rejected an Isser Kehilel that's also an Isser Chamur, and Mosif additional things, you see. So if we find this Shita, I would assume that it's the other Shita that doesn't hold of Isser Kehilel, which is known to be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And apparently he agrees that an Isser Kehilel that's not just a plain overlap is viewed as subsuming the initial Isser, and therefore we have now an Isser of Achila, or Ba'ana rather, on the Gidan Asher too, in such a case. Or in the case of the Kachim and Isser Koras on the Gidan Asher too. Where do I see that Rabbi Yossi really rejects Isser Kehilel? Well, again, I can't prove that he agrees to this particular type of Isser Kehilel, but I don't know that he specifically rejects it, which I do know both Rabbi Shimon. It's not. Tamei she'achal kodesh. Bein kodesh tamei, bein kodesh tohor chayav. Someone who is tamei, and he eats kodesh, even if this kodesh is tamei, he still is chayav. Now what that seems to be saying is that despite the fact that you have two levels of Isser here, when the basar of kodesh is tamei, it's also to eat as a lav. When the kohen himself becomes tamei, it's also to eat with an Isser karet. Furthermore, the fact that the kohen is tamei is an Isser kolel. Because of course, we don't know which one comes first here. We'll talk about that momentarily. But let's assume for a moment that we had basar tamei. Then only that basar is also to eat. This kohen now wasn't allowed to eat this basar in becoming tamei, has now a new Isser which is called all Basar Kodesh, which is not allowed to eat. Now that's an Isser Kolel. Since it also adds an Isser Karei, it's an Isser Kolel with an Isser Chamur, one would have think. Now Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Tamei she'achalata tohor chayav, Tamei she'achalata tamei patur, shelo achal ela davar tamei. That if you had a tamei who's eating basar, that's tamei, then he would be potter on a, here it means potter on a korban chatas, which is only chayav in the case of Isser Karis. Obviously he would be over in a lav, he would be chayav malchus, he did a b'mezin. That's not our topic. The subject over here is the chayav of chatas. So there he would be potter. So the chachamim said, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, how tamei shakalatsa tohar, kim shanaga botimu. And so then you could say, every time somebody eats basar kodesh, when he touches the basar, he makes it tamei anyway. So where was the Torah mechayev? It's unlikely that the Torah is mechayev you only in a case where somebody else touched the meat and stuck it into your throat while you were tamei. I mean, the assumption would be that the Torah says tamei can't eat basar. It means he can't eat the way he would normally eat, picking it up in his hands and putting it into his mouth. Shaker Karmel Rabban Rabbi Yossi Agruli, then that seems to be a reasonable taina. And there is all part of the raya as to what Rabbi Yossi Agruli holds. And we said there, the Amar Rav, and their Rav explains, let's understand what's really happening over here. Benitma haguf yachakach nitma basar. If the tame guf came first, and then the basar became tame, that's not the issue over here, whether there is an isser of achilas tuma, achila bit tumas haguf, of something that anyway is mechulal. That's not what they're arguing about. Because in that case, kuleyamalo plege de chayev, certainly you would be chayev in that case. The Torah doesn't distinguish that. It's by truma we distinguish that. It's a mesuboki yachalabu. If it's mechulal v'omei, it's a proper mechulal v'omei, then you'd have a different thing. But over here, the Torah doesn't give any indication that the status of the basar kodesh that you're eating is going to make a difference to your isser of eating it betuma. So that's not, on first glance, that's what it looked like. But that's really not what the issue is over here, says Rava. The issue is something else entirely. It's a question of the sechalal isser. Therefore, if you begin with the isser of tumas haguf, everybody is ready to agree that the fact that afterwards the basar becomes tummy doesn't change a darn thing. You remain isser the way you were. Nothing takes off that isser, and definitely you'll be chayav a chatas because isser karet kadim. The isser karet came first. The real machlokas over here is ki plige minitma basar v'acharkach nitma haguf. In the case here we're talking about, where the basar first was tummy, which ossered you from eating this basar with an isser lav. Now, the same Kohen, who previously had an isser lav, now becomes tummy betumat haguf, and he now gets an isser kolel, not to eat anything at all. Of course, there's also an isser karkas, but let's ignore that for a moment. So Rabbanan say, well, you've got over here classic isser kolel, because before you were only also in this piece of meat, and now you're also in all meat of kodesh. So once you've become now, because you've become chayev on this new isser, which has for the first time prevented you from eating other meats that were tor of kodesh, so the isser has where to be chal. Once the isser has where to be chal, so then the two of them now are chal as an overlap on the feast that was previously chal. And you're mechayev now miachatichat meyah. You would be chayev now for this new broader isser on the feast that was previously asked to you because it was coming. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, look, you don't say midu. I mean, it's all very necessary to isser kolels. But when you have an overlap in that area remains free of the new isser because there's no reason to how, I mean, there's no way actually to change the state by repeating it twice. That doesn't change anything. You could say usher as many times as you want. You haven't changed anything by repeating yourself. So therefore, he doesn't own the minister kolo. To me, you don't say this idea of, since we have a place where we can identify it in the other basar, therefore it has this virtual existence in a place that was already asur anyway. But there's humor. Wait a second, Rabbi, hold on a minute. We're trying to prove that Rabbi Yossi really doesn't hold of Isser Kolel, but would be the Mandiomar who would say that in the case of the Gid Anasha, where also it becomes Kodesh, then it would be an Isser Kolel plus the Chumra of the Kedusha, which is B'chayim and Isser Kares now. So then he would agree. So for heaven's sake, you just proved yourself wrong. Because the very case of Rabbi Yossi Aglili you're bringing a riot from is a case where you added an Isser Karet. And nonetheless, he's Doka, the fact that it's an Isser Kolel. So how in the world did you think that Rabbi Yossi Aglili was saying something different than Rabbi Shimon was saying? Rabbi Shimon said in a case where Yom Kippurim is chal, and you eat a nevela, you're not chayev for Yom Kippur on the nevela. Why? Because you were already usher on it. What about the kolel, all the other meat, all the other food in the world? Doesn't matter, is it kolel, I don't know. What about the fact that it was not only kolel, but it turned it into an Isser Karet? Doesn't matter, even if it turned it into an Isser Karet. You can't have two overlapping states. Okay, fine. But Rabbi Yossi apparently holds the same thing. Because he's saying over here that the kapila, the meat, was also only with an Isser Lal. Now I have an Isser Kolel plus an Isser Chamor of Karet. It's exactly the same as Yom Kippur and Nevem. This is the case of Kores for Tumas Hagur being called on the equivalent of Nevela, which is Tumas Baser. And nonetheless, he's Dolfed. And you're trying to prove to me that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the one who holds Isser Kolel if it's also adding Isser Chamor. What's gotten into you? So then, it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Isser Kolel less. So you're claiming that he only doesn't own the Isser Kolel, Isser Kal. But in Isser Chamor, he does. So this is the case of Isser Chamor. You'll go Isser Chamor. You'll call Isser Kal. Why don't we say that the Isser Karet over here should be Chal anyway, and you should be Chayev too? My view, Tumas Aguf. Tumas Aguf is an Isser Kal. And it's Isser Chamor, because Tumas Aguf is Bekaret. Chamor of Ashi. Says of Ashi, because the idea of Isser Chamor, remember, according to this approach, is that it's chomer enough to subsume the other space of Isser. That means that it has to be absolutely chomer, not that it's just a chomer, but it can't be relatively chomer. It has to be absolutely chomer. If you want to talk about which one is more chomer in an absolute sense, Tumas Basar or Tumas Aguf, you can't simply take into consideration the fact that Tumas Aguf is a fee of chorus to make it more chomer. Because there's an element of Tumas Basar which is more chomer. Namely, Tumas Aguf, you can change. Tumas Basar, you can't change. Therefore, the Isser of Tumas Basar is permanent. The Isser of Tumas Aguf is given to you to remove by going to a mikveh. You can't be Matar Basar in a mikveh. Therefore, in a sense, the Tumas Basar is more Chomer. So it's all very nice to say there is a Chomer, but since that's not the way this operates, the way this operates, if you don't know the Isser Kalo, is that you need to be able to establish that the space of the Isser Tumas Haguf is not only broader, but it also subsumes the state of Isser that's beneath it. And that is not necessarily so. Because man leimelon, how can you be so sure that Tumas Haguf is absolutely more chomer? Dilma Tumas Basar chomer. Maybe we should look at the other one. That Tumas Basar is more chomer, the letlay taharab b'mikveh. Therefore, Rava is right. Again, remember, gentlemen, Rava's not trying to prove that he knows that it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Of course he doesn't know it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He's trying to find someone that it might be. So we know it can't be Rabbi Meir. And it can't be Rabbi Shimon. So who might it be? Can't be Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds an Isser Kolel without an Isser Chamor. It can't be Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold an Isser Kolel, even if it's both an Isser Kolel and an Isser Chamor. But it might be Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because, again, as Rav Ashi says, who knows? Man leimelon. I mean, you can't really say that necessarily he would have been both an Isser Kolel, that's an Isser Chamor. Maybe he views this as not an Isser Chamor. So at least we have established, because the Man Yomar, who rejects Isser Kolel, but is open to the possibility that maybe something that is absolutely Chamor would be Chal, if it also had a place to be Chal, as an Isser Kolel. Now, I have a problem with this. There's just something bothering me about this whole thing. You're telling me Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't hold an Isser Kolel on its own? You have time that way. There's a famous case, Shabbos v'Yom HaKippurim. It's a brisa. Somebody now was shagag on a Yom Kippur was Chal on Shabbos. So he went ahead and he did Malach. What's he chayav? Says the brisa, Minayim shechayav al zebat, no al zebat. I don't know if I have each one. Talmud Omar Shabbat hi Yom HaKippurim hu. So the Shabbat, the he of the Shabbat, and the who of the Yom Kippur, insists that this is unchangeable. Whenever we have that word, who, it means that's the existential fact. No discussions on it. Which case you have on both? So says Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, obviously, the situation here is that they're chal at the same time, Shabbos and Yom HaKippur. So that, on the surface, this doesn't have anything to do with this at all. But there's a very important machlokus in Yevamos about how to understand the din of Bevat Achat. Because remember, if you reject the idea of Issur Halal Issur, even an Issur Kolel, then essentially what you're saying is that overlapping states of Issur are a meaningless statement since you're simply repeating yourself. In which case, even if there would be a Bevat Achat, it would still be a meaningless statement. It would be either Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but it can't be both. It doesn't help to say, you're going to be chayav for Shabbos and you're going to be chayav for Yom Kippur. What is that supposed to be? If it's Usher, it's Usher. I mean, so tell me what's it Usher. Take your pick. But you still wouldn't be able to have a double overlapping existential state. That makes no sense. It's like saying there are two gods that are exactly the same. Well, what is that supposed to mean? That's the same thing.
Even though the punishments are different.
Well, but not in terms of this. It's true that the punishment is different because Shabbos is more common. Now, if you're ready to say that you hold in a case where something is more chamur, that then it would be chal, then you don't have a problem of overlapping states. But if you wouldn't hold that when they're not overlapping, then you can't, in other words, when they're not chal b'vat achat, it doesn't help you that it will be chal b'vat achat. That's the point. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara in Yevamos. Whether if you reject Issur Kolel, when you reject Issur Mosif, whether you would also, of necessity, have to reject Bevat Achat. Because since it wouldn't make any difference if one came after the other in any direction, so therefore it won't make any difference even at the Chal Bevat Achat. Now, in this case, Shabbat, as Avner just pointed out, is Mosif Echumrah. So that's called Mosif, it's additive. Yom HaKippurim is Kolel, new issues. Okay? So we have, therefore, the idea of not eating. That was, that's something that's completely new over here. So as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, Shabbat is Mosif. As far as Shabbos is concerned, the Isser of Yom HaKippurim is Kolel now, new things that weren't also the previous Isser. Okay. Nonetheless, if you don't hold of Issur Mosif, if you don't hold of Issur Kolel, it's not going to help you, Bevat Achat. Here, the Rav Yossi, I believe, says that it does help you, Bevat Achat. This is the way Rashi understands the sugya. And therefore, one would have to assume that if he's ready to say that Bevat Achat makes a difference, then he's going to have to be ready to say that Issur Kolel makes a difference. Because otherwise, how could it make a difference if it's Bevat Achat? Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says, Eino chayav alach. It would only be chayav for one. So now we have a real contradiction. You know, we just had Rabbi Yossi Aglili say that in the case of Tumas Haguf over Tumas Basar, we would not say it be a chayav, and because we don't know the Vidya Sekolo, and yet when it comes to the Sirvavat Achat, which is dependent on yes holding a Vidya Sekolo, Rabbi Yossi Aglili was ready to say that it will be chal. Now that's a contradiction in Rav Yossi Aglili. So Sholach Rabbi Mishum Rav Yossi Rav Chanina Kachatzah Shom Mishnah. You're right. It does say that in the Brisa, but what we're going to have to do is Epoch. There's no question that the Shitas of Rav Yossi and Rav Akiva were reversed over here, and there's nothing to do. So then actually Rav Yossi Aglili would be the one who was saying Eino Chayav Elahach. Sholach Rav Yitzchak by Yaakov by Gur and Yishun Rav Yochanan. Understanding Rav Yossi Aglili now according to the way that you've just switched it around. So now, the Divrei Rav Yossi Aglili, the Maida Abchan, I just want to make it very clear that Shagag v'Shabbat v'Hezid b'Yom HaKippurim, if the Shogeg was on Shabbos, so that's the thing that's being Machayev Yudachatas, and vis-a-vis Yom Kippur, you were over b'Mezid. So then you would be chayav achatas because of the shigagah Shabbos. But if you were shagag b'Shabbos, v'hizit b'yom ha-kippurim,
what's that? Not the same halacha.
What do you mean not the same halacha?
Two different halachas.
Not the same. Whatever. We're talking about the same act of azotzen. That gets involved in goof and goof and asra, whatever.
Why is one made and one?
We'll see. What do you mean? You knew it was Shabbos, but you know it was Yom Kippur. You knew it was Yom Kippur, you know it was Shabbos. So, Hezid b'Shabbat, b'Shagag, b'Yom HaKippurim, Patur. Mashenka is a very strange thing to say. If his mazid was on Shabbos, but the shkaga was on the karas of Yom Kippur, then he would be potter from his karma fasting. My time of what could possibly be the logic of such a thing? Says Abai, the logic is this. Shabbat comes first. Why? Because Shabbat is defined at Ma'at Separation. And Yom Kippur was only defined at Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So that's first. What? So, we can't talk about philosophy here. We have to talk about the impact of states. So Shabbos is Kaviyah the Kaima, and Yom Kippur is Bezdin that's Kaviyah, and therefore Shabbos, I understand that that would be Chal first, and therefore if when Rabbi Yossi said you're only Chai of one, you know which one it was? The one that was Chal first, which was the Chiyah Fatas of Shabbos. But if on Shabbos you were Mazid, so then you weren't Chai for that Fatas. And therefore, you wouldn't be Chai on Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur isn't Chal when Shabbos is Chal. Oh, my Rabbi, what kind of logic is that? But that doesn't matter, because we're saying over here, even though it's Mosif, it wouldn't make any difference. But it has to be Kolel and Mosif in Rabbi Yossi agreed. Oh, my Rabbi, what kind of logic is that? I mean, you're talking about the theory of Shabbos. I mean, until the time arrives, there is no Shabbos that's Osir, and there is no Yom Kippurim that's Osir. So who cares when the Kviyut of the Kiddusha was? I mean, that's irrelevant, because if you're talking about the Chalos of the state of Isser, it cannot be Chal in theory. Or otherwise, you say, every Isser in the Torah was already Chal at the time the Torah was given. I mean, that's absurd. Either the thing exists or it doesn't exist. If the time hasn't come into human ken, then there is no Chalos of Isser. So therefore, look, I don't know about this philosophy. All I know is that they were both Chal at the same moment. So that it makes absolutely no sense to say that we're going to be ma'adib one over the other, Shabbat over Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur over Shabbat. By the way, there's a brilliant question over here among the Acharonim, which is there are shitas that hold that the Tosfos of Yom HaKippurim is midiraisa. The Tosefet of Shabbat is only midirabbanan. So the Yisr V'Achila of Yom HaKippurim indeed involves Yom HaTishi, because the Torah says, V'tisha B'chodesh B'erev. Where you learn that Tosefet Yom HaKippurim, that starts a little bit before Yom Kippur. In which case, that could be the Yoraisa. But the Chiyav of the Tosefet of Shabbos is only in the Rabbanan, in which case Yom Kippur is always Chal first. That's a brilliant question. Right? The only way out of the question, the Korah seems to be by proving, as is done, that Tosafos of Yom HaKippurim is not the Isser of Yom Kippur spreading out into Chol. It's a new Isser called Tosafot of Yom HaKippurim. And it's Amchayim Isser of Yom HaKippurim. So the Isser of Yom Kippur, which is of course is Chol, only at the same exact moment that the Isser of Shabbos is Chol. So now, says Rava, you had the whole thing wrong. And you know, boy, did you mess up over here. The Maisa was that, yes, in fact, there was such a message. But somebody completely misunderstood, threw into this story that Rabbi Yitzchak had mentioned that it was because of the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi. Really, it has nothing to do with that. There was, in fact, a year in which if somebody had been Shogar, On the Yom HaKippurim, he would have been put. You know why? Because it wasn't maybe Yom Kippur. It was a year in which Rome had been gozer not to keep Yom Kippur. And therefore, what they did was, it was a year of Shmad in which there was a gzera not to keep Yom Kippur. And what they did was, Sholchu Mitam, Yom HaKippur Da Shata, Shabbatahu. Now the Ramban explains that he's going back to talk about the original Braisa, which is Minayin Shechaya Vazeba Atzmo Vazeba Atzmo, and Rabbi Akiva Ma'ina Chaya Vala'aza. And what was, in order to inform the Gola, when they were keeping Yom Kippur, he wrote this price that and Rabbi Akiva added, no, but you're only chayav one. From which people who got the message understood, we're not allowed to keep Yom Kippur, but they want us to keep Shabbos as Yom Kippur, as if it's Yom Kippur. So that at least we'll fast and so on and so forth, and it shouldn't be nishtakeach.
Right.
It shouldn't be nishtakeach Yom Kippur. That's his opinion. No, it wasn't really Shabbos Yom Kippur. That's Yom Kippur was supposed to be Chol HaMoed Sunday. They couldn't keep Yom Kippur on Sunday because they were going to murder anybody who kept Yom Kippur. Therefore, the Chachamim said, okay, then let's at least keep a Yom Kippur, not Midiraisa, but as a Zecher Yom Kippur. We'll make that Shabbos. But we can't even communicate that. So therefore, they use the price to communicate, Chayav al Zeba, from al Zeba, from, but you only Chayav on one.
And they'll get this around with them, the message?
Yeah, sure. If they could, if they would have been intercepted, we find a lot of cases of the Gemara where they sent messages encoded, and because in case of interception, then it had to be coded that they couldn't figure out or they couldn't prove what it meant. So actually, they said the Shofu Mitan the Yom Kippur the Hashat the Shabbatu. Let's treat Shabbos as if it's Yom Kippur. V'chein tiyas Rovin v'kol nechut hayama. When they said Amruah Karava, clearly, I mean, you needed to have the historical background, but they backed up Rava on this. That is actually what had happened. The Maisa that Rabbi Yitzchak was referring to had nothing to do with the Machlokas, except the way the Ramban explained it. They had used the Machlokas as a mode of transferring the information.
So the Maisa is misleading.
No, not yes. The Brisa in this way would be misleading because actually you may have to be Mahapachit if you would want to really discuss the Jesus. Now, there's a famous Kasha of the Rajba on this, which is a fantastic question, in which he asks, this means that they didn't keep Yom Kippur. That means that they had to be over on Yom Kippur because the Romans would have seen them being Sheves, whereas on Shabbos, they would have assumed you're being Sheves because of Shabbos and they hadn't made it there against Shabbos. But the problem is that if you're saying it's a Shnat Shmad, the halacha is that when there goes a Shmad, then you have to allow yourself to be killed because of Shmad. So how could you not do Yom Kippur?
Yeah, but if you did it in a secretive way, shouldn't that be accepted?
They didn't do it in a secretive way. They didn't do it. They were over on Yom Kippur. Okay, fine. So they didn't keep Yom Kippur, they were Mechala Yom Kippur. How could they be Mechala Yom Kippur? Now others learn a very fascinating halacha, that it's not so pashut that the din of Shmad of Yarav Yavor is said on a tzibur as a whole. In other words, does the entire tzibur commit suicide, so to speak? Or is that only said on a yochid? The tzibur has to
pretend. Was on the keyboard, I mean, if it doesn't, then it's gone, right? We could all be gone.
Right. Okay, but the Rajba assumes, for good reason, that there's no difference between the keyboard and the offer. Therefore, the Rajba has a brilliant explanation of the whole sugya, which leads to fantastic chidushim, depending on how you understand the Rajba, in the dinim of the Malach. The Rajba says the chiyuv of Kiddush HaKodesh is a mitzvah aseh. And a mitzvah asay, you're not obligated to do, they can be nimna. They weren't Mekadosh HaKodesh. So everybody asks the Rashi, what's the difference? Even if you're not Mekadosh HaKodesh, it says if it passes by, and Beis Din isn't Mekadosh HaKodesh, so then Kitshur Shamayim. And it's automatically Tishrei. So what's the difference? So now the 10th of Tishrei becomes Yom Kippur. And one of the most beautiful explanations of the Rashi is that Kiddush HaKodesh has two completely different things. One is to determine the dinim of the Chadosh and one after the other. But the other is that in the act of Kiddush HaKodesh, Bezdin is Mekadosh to Moadim. And that's the Mikroi Kodesh. You can't have a substitution for Mikroi Kodesh, it's actually true of Shemayim, because only Bezdin can be Mekadosh to Moadim. Therefore, if Bezdin is not Mekadosh to Chodesh, there's no Yom Kippur. And therefore, that year, there was no Yom Kippur. So what they said was, keep an artificial Yom Kippur and make that Yom Kippur. Tosfos asks, Tosfos asks, so why don't we say that the, in the very tribut of Yom Kippur on Shabbos, then Shabbos becomes Yom Kippur? And realize. Because if they say keep Yom Kippur on Shabbos, so then Shabbos should be Yom Kippur, because after all, it says, Atem Afilu Bezidin. So even if you screw up the Chodesh, it's still you. It says Tosfos, but that's only if you screw up the Chodesh. You can't turn the ninth into Yom Kippur, the eighth into Yom Kippur.
Once you've been
called out of the Chodesh. Right. So Atem Afilu Bezidin is Kviyut HaChodesh. The Kviyut HaChodesh is in touch here. So it works out beautifully, see. Okay, so it's a whole different approach.
Right, but they were already kovel chodesh.
They were kovel.
They were not.
That's what the Rashi says.
So it must be
their response to the Shema was not to be kovel tishrei. Could be, or maybe it's possible to be mekadesh afterwards. Maybe by adding that kedusha, you could still have to be great kovel.
Or if they decided as soon as
Could be, okay, that already is open to interpretation. There are other interpretations of the Rashba, but they're weak. And this is the beautiful, it's a beautiful approach.
But had it been Shabbat and to keep Shabbos, then they would have been out of luck. That's what
you're saying. Yeah, that would have been a problem. Exactly.
It's weird that they would have picked Yom Kippur just once in a year when they could Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
I know. But remember that even the Christians go on Yom Kippur in those days, you know. In other words, even non-religious Jews going on Kippur. They're much more impactful to talk about that. Omer of Yehuda. V'halom ibnei Yaakov, and so on. I mean, you see that the Gidanosha was chal on even non-kosher animals because the Gidanosha was noisy for the concept of kosher animals. And the Chachomim respond, well, the Isser of Yom Kippur, the Isser of Gidanosha was said on Har Sinai, and it's just written there. And we spoke yesterday about the Rambam's approach versus Rashi, that there are two completely separate issues that are involved over here. Of course, even according to Chachamim, obviously Bnei Yaakov didn't eat the Gidanosha. But the Isser of Akein Lo Yochlu Bnei Yisrael, that is a pasuk that was said on Har Sinai and was kavua there, and is only an analog to the fact that Bnei Yaakov didn't eat from the Ginamosha. And therefore, when we keep a mitzvah, we keep it only on the basis of Har Sinai. We couldn't care less what the tribal basis is for it. And therefore, the fact he throws in Mila as well, because we don't keep Mila because of Avraham, you know. We keep Mila because on Yom Kippur we were told to keep the Mila, which was the bris with Avraham, you know. But we would never have kept it after Har Sinai, in which our only real response to mitzvahs is based on Maimon Har Sinai and nothing else. So now that the Chachamim, we have a little bit of an expansion of the Mishnah Brayso, the Tanya. Amru lo l'Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi ne'emar ha'kein lo yochlu b'nei Yaakov. Look, if what you're saying is the meaning of the pasuk, then it should have said, ha'kein lo yochlu b'nei Yaakov eskid an Hashem. Who the heck are Bnei Yisrael at that point? There was no such thing as Bnei Yisrael.
Was he just named Yisrael?
No, he was just not named Yisrael.
It was right after?
Because that's when it was afterwards that Hashem gave him the name of Yisrael. So it says, Lo Yochlu Bnei Yaakov, Lo Lo Nemar Al Bnei Yisrael. Lo Nikru Bnei Yisrael Ad Sinai. That doesn't mean literally Lo Nikru Ad Sinai, but in other words, Lo Nikru in terms of mitzvahs, until Sinai. Later on, we're going to discuss this a little bit more. Therefore, what we have to say, Ela b'Sinai ne'emar. So clearly, this pasuk now is taking what was said at Har Sinai and placing it into its historical context. But it was certainly only said on Har Sinai. Lo shenechtav b'mekomo leidam me'ezetam ne'esar lahem. So it's to give us the historical background to understand the Gidanosh. Masi Rava says, well, what do you mean that they're not called Bnei Yisrael until Sinai? It says, Vayisu, Bnei Yisrael is Yaakov Avihim. That wasn't by Har Sinai, it was at the death of Yaakov. It says, the Bnei Yisrael carried Yaakov. So obviously they were called Bnei Yisrael before Har Sinai. Okay, but that was Leachar Maisa. That was after the story of fighting with the Gidanosh. Then Yaakov Avinu comes to the Padan Aram, Yaakov's work who appears to him, and says, Lo Yikarei Shemcha Od Yaakov, in Israel, right?
Then that's when he changed his name. But over here, you can't say that Arkei Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his shame. So then, wait a second. So then, why don't they get the Isser at that moment? If you're going to tell me it's Arkei Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael, then that Isser is how at the moment that they're called B'nai Yisrael, at least is what it seems to be saying, which now takes away the time of the Chachomim to Rav Yehuda. So there is an Isser before Har Sinai, because your whole reason for saying there was no Isser before Har Sinai is because it doesn't say Alkein Lo Yochlu B'nai Yaakov. Okay, fine, so it went into effect a little bit after that. So the moment they were called B'nai Yisrael, it went into effect. So Rav Yehuda is right in saying that actually this mitzvah went into effect earlier. Omar Leh, come on, the Torah pa'amim pa'amim nitam. I understand, what are you saying? The Torah is given in little increments. I mean, if you want to tell me that it went into effect because of the event, fine. If you want to tell me it went into effect because of the mitzvah on Har Sinai, fine. But what is this supposed to be? Well, at the time of the event it didn't go into effect because they weren't called B'nai Yisrael. So somehow the mitzvah magically went into effect at some point where they became B'nai Yisrael. I mean, what is their becoming B'nai Yisrael? How is that the thing that should now trigger the chalos of the chiyuv? If it's neither coming from the event or from the chiyuv on Har Sinai, that doesn't make any sense. Ayishayka lav sha'at ma'aseh avoy, v'lo sha'at matan Torah avoy. So that's for sure not what it could mean. Therefore, once I've proven to you that it is written out of its time, then there's no reason to assume it means anything but the issue that went into effect at Kabbalat HaTorah, and we're Dolka, therefore you're Svara about Alkein Lo Yochlu.
The Rebbe said that beforehand,
according to the Rambam, why not? What's different? What does that have to do with our Mitzvah? That's the same as Rashi, and the famous Rashi in the Mishnah and Chelet. Ma'alanu v'la'emunato. What do we care if this guy happens to have a religion that is an analog to our religion? That's mean analogs are meaningless. So the fact that we have a tribe of people that keep mitzvahs like milah, because God said to their forefather to keep milah, or that they keep Gidon Usha because their forefather was attacked by somebody, and then therefore they have this. That's a tribal religion. So you're saying, okay, but the Torah also fine, so it also. So therefore what? So therefore now we should say that that has something to do with Arkia? It comes from a totally different basis. And analogs are completely meaningless. That's what Rashi says there in Kalish. The guy believes it's Kiyas HaMesim. Why does he believe it? Emotionally, philosophically. Who the heck cares about his emotions and his philosophy? Even if they happen to be an analog to our system of beliefs, our system of beliefs is a system. You can't say, well, I mean, I'm also a doctor because I also have certain elements of medicine. I just don't hold the rest of them. And so, fine, so then you say, you're not part of the system. There's certain things in which you're going to say the same thing. That's like saying it. You know, you'll go to Goyim's, you'll go to Elam Mishpatim, I'll go to a non-Jewish court in those things where they pass the same as a Jewish court. It's not the same. It just sounds the same. But it's not coming from the same system. Therefore, it's like it's in investing in an entirely different vision of reality. That's what the Rambam is saying. We couldn't care less whether they did need to get an Ashi. They didn't need to get an Ashi. That's not the point in the Machlokas over here between Rabbi and the Chachamim. The Chachamim are simply saying, who the heck cares? What would their minhag have to do with the fact that we keep a mitzvah given at Har Sinai about not eating the Gidon Ashi? Now, as I pointed out yesterday, it's totally consistent with the Rambam's vision of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Because if a guy keeps the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach because he knows that Noach was given those mitzvahs, he is not considered to be from the Chassidim of Mitzrayim. He has to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, according to the Rambam, based on the fact that there is now a realistic basis for Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach instead of a tradition. And therefore, either he keeps them because of Nesinas HaTorah, or it's again, okay, fine. So he happens to believe in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Who cares? It has nothing to do with our Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So the Rambam is totally consistent in this throughout.
It's the same way that he defines our relationship to all prophecies. We don't believe in prophets. We don't believe in miracles. We don't believe in anything but the existential experience, which cannot be something that you make a mistake about. If you know you exist, then you know that Christ is not. That's all that you can be sure of. Anything else, you can't be sure of. If on Har Sinai you're told to act as if a prophet is a prophet, fine, so you'll act as if a prophet is a prophet. But you won't hesitate for a moment to kill the prophet the moment that he no longer fits the bill. You're not going to say, well, this is Yeshayahu, I love you. I mean, what are you, crazy? Loving? Okay, so he said something that done me, so he said we should do an act of Avodah Zarah one time. I mean, maybe we don't understand it. Why? Who is he? He's nobody. The only reason we took him seriously is because Moshe said to take him seriously. The moment that Moshe says, don't take him seriously, he's an imposter, he's an idiot. Who cares? Well, what about the miracles? He turned the whole earth into a different color. It's cheap technology. Right? So we shoot him. This is exactly what the Rambam goes through. It's like, this is so perfectly and consistently the Rambam that it's almost beautiful. I think the next element, because it goes on for a long way in understanding the relationship of Abram and Achai and to Harun and to Naim, is best left to begin until tomorrow. Hillel was from Abram, I mean. But it's not, the Rambam is just saying that's not our meaning. It wasn't our meaning. It wasn't our mitzvah's Mila. It was our bris. It was the same bris as Mila, but it wasn't the reason that we keep the mitzvah from Mila.
Is there any parallel between like Sinai, like
Kolel,
the
Kolel and Moshe?
Yeah, like the sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like we're Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rambam in a way.
Fascinating. Interesting. Yeah.